In the days after Jesus rose from the dead, he appeared to his 12 apostles. Although they struggled to understand his resurrection, they could not deny what they had seen with their own eyes and touched with their own hands. Jesus spent 40 days among them, teaching them about the kingdom of God and giving them instructions. He promised that they would be baptized with the Holy Spirit, who would give them power to share his story with the world, starting from Jerusalem. Then he was taken up into heaven. The last thing his disciples saw were his punctured feet disappearing into a cloud. Now they were on their own. It was a strange time for all of them. In the past 3 years, they barely had a moment to themselves. Jesus was their constant companion. Everywhere they traveled, people pressed in on them from all sides, eager to see, eager to hear, eager to receive a healing touch. But all of that changed the night that Judas showed up in the garden with an armed attachment from the temple. Events were set in motion that could never be undone, not even by resurrection. Now, Jesus had ascended to the Father, leaving them without a leader. It would take time for them to adjust to their new life without Jesus. Mary lost her eldest son. Jesus' siblings lost their oldest brother. His apostles lost their dearest friend, and his disciples lost their beloved teacher. They were living in a time of transition, caught between a fading past and an unknown future. Their self-understanding was undergoing a dramatic shift, and their understanding of God's future was evolving. Who they were was no more, and who they were becoming was yet to be revealed. Now, as we grow, we come to understand that times of transition are part of life, like the move from middle school to high school, or from high school to independent living. Our bodies undergo significant changes throughout our lives, either becoming more active or more inactive than they were before. Our relationships evolve over time as we get to know another person's hidden self a little bit better and a little bit deeper. We experience changes in employment, like losing an old job or starting a new job, or retiring from the workforce. We even experience changes in our own self-understanding as we pay attention to the fears and the desires of our inner life. Times of transition affect us in powerful ways, and they leave us vulnerable to the voices that would have us believe that there is no future for us. Such voices try to seduce us into believing that somehow things can be as they were before, that events can be undone and new understandings can be reversed. But if we listen carefully to Scripture, we will discover that these voices belong to the devil, who is attempting to deceive us. Nothing could give that wily devil greater joy than to rip the kingdom from the hands of God's people. Judas Iscariot was one such casualty of the devil's lies. Jesus appointed him to be an apostle in the kingdom of God, an overseer of Jesus' ministry, an ambassador of his gospel. Yet the more time that Judas spent with Jesus, the more he feared the future that Jesus was bringing. He began to hear the devil's whisper that all of this could be stopped, that things could be as they were before. And he believed that false promise. So he betrayed God's anointed, giving up his place in the kingdom and becoming a guide for those who arrested Jesus. His attempt to undo God's future and return to the past cost him his life. This is the fate of all who attempt to overthrow God's anointed, as prophesied by the Holy Spirit through David. Judas's fate warns us that the past does not offer us life, despite what misleading voices might promise. If we try returning to yesterday, we miss what God is doing today. And we give up our share in what God will do tomorrow. While Judas was ensnared by the life that he left behind, the other apostles caught sight of the future that God was preparing, that God is preparing. They sensed that they were walking in God's presence the day that Jesus was baptized. They recognized God's power in his words and actions. Although they doubted him after his crucifixion, his resurrection and his ascension confirmed what they suspected all along. So when the time came to pick Judas's successor, they looked for men who had been with Jesus all the way through, from his baptism through his ascension. They came up with two: Joseph, called Barsabbas, who was also known as Justice, and Matthias. One of these two would take Judas's place as a witness to Jesus' resurrection. Jesus was not raised from the dead, so the past could resume its steady march. He was raised from the dead so that we would know God is preparing a future for us. Jesus is the first to cross the threshold into God's future. He's a living witness to what we are becoming. His gospel is a testament to the hope that we have for life and future for all of God's creation. The one chosen to replace Judas would also become a living witness to this future. He would speak God's promise, and he would speak that promise of renewal into creation. Wherever the devil says, there is no future, he would say, God's kingdom is the future. Where the devil says things can be as they were before, he would say, all things are made new. Where the devil says the way of Jesus leads to death, he would say, Jesus is the resurrection and the life. The devil tries to rip the kingdom from our grasp while we are vulnerable. The apostle bears witness to the future that they saw in Christ, a future that not even death on a God-forsaken cross could undo. As the believers discerned who God had chosen for this very special purpose, Justice or Matthias, they prayed, Lord, you know everyone's heart. Show us which of these two you have chosen. In fact, this is one among many prayers that they prayed after Jesus ascended to his Father and before the Holy Spirit was poured out on them. They were constantly devoting themselves to prayer. They were actively paying attention to what God was up to in the world around them. They were looking eagerly for the telltale signs of the Spirit blowing among them. And as they prayed, they became aware of God's hidden work. Although they may not have known it, every prayer they uttered was a prayer for the promised Holy Spirit. When we pray, whether it's for help finding our locker on the first day of school, or whether it's for grace to embrace a new life stage. We are asking God to act in our particular situation with power. We are seeking out God with us today, and we are asking God's blessing for tomorrow. As the believers prayed, Peter emerged as a natural leader among the apostles, and Matthias was identified as Judas's successor. The more they prayed, the more clearly they could see the future, until the Holy Spirit swooped down on them in tongues of flame, igniting their faith and driving them out into the world. We can be confident that God will come among us and act with power when we pray too. Prayer orients us to God's future like nothing else. This is especially important when we are vulnerable in times of transition. When the voices crowd in, telling you that you don't have a future, proclaim the gospel to them and devote yourself to prayer. The words that we pray are not as important as our desire to see God at work in whatever situation that we lift up. For Jesus promised to send us the Holy Spirit. And through baptism and prayer, that promise has been fulfilled. We can be confident that when we pray in our own times of transition, the Holy Spirit will be revealed among us and will come among us in power, sweeping us toward our future in Christ.